We'll conclude DXing with Don in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the not-so-posh studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. Working DX on the low bands requires a certain amount of skill, timing, propagation, and yes, luck. One Chicagoan who has worked more than 330 countries using rather modest antennas is Don Whiteman, KK9H. Don has earned 5-band DXCC with 30, 17, and 12-meter endorsements. Don has been treasurer of the Northern Illinois DX Association for years. He's the current president of NSRC, the North Shore Radio Club on Chicago's North Shore. Rains Hapali, KC9RP, spent a few minutes picking Don's brain in the rain booth at the 2015 Dayton Hamvention. This is the conclusion to their conversation.
There are those who are very critical of the expeditions or DX contests in general. What skills does that give you that you might be able to employ during an emergency?
Well, that's an interesting question, Hap. The only one that I can think of off the top of my head is expediency. When you're working a DX station or when you're in a contest and you're trying to pile up points for a score, expediency is important, so the brevity, quickness of not only what you say but how you operate determine a lot of the success in those endeavors. And the other thing is you've got to be accurate. You've got to be sure you log the other station's call correctly and its information. If it's the type of contest where lots of information is exchanged, such as a serial number or that one contest where they give you the year they started as a ham and their section and all that sort of thing, you have to be able to be accurate at getting their information. That absolutely would carry over to an emergency situation, accuracy. But I would say in an emergency scenario of operating, I think accuracy is more important than speed. But obviously speed is somewhat important if we have a lot of traffic that you need to pass.
The mode of transmission during an emergency locally would be probably FM. And of course, you don't have a pileup on FM because whoever has the strongest signal literally captures the frequency. But my thought would be that you would develop real good concentration skills that you really need when push comes to shove in a bona fide emergency.
Sure, and I think not only concentration, but organization, organizing yourself and how you handle it and how you do it. I've never operated in an emergency per se myself, but I am one of the net control operators for the Chicago Marathon that takes place every year in October in Chicago. And that's a world-class event that I'm very honored to be part of. And in that scenario, which if something were to happen, such as happened in Boston, we would certainly switch over to that kind of mode, and I hope we never do. Next scenario, it's different. You have a net, and you have certain rules of how a net should operate. And the people that are participating in that understand those rules, and the urgency of passing information quickly and correctly is all part of what you expect there. So you're not going to get a pile-up, per se, scenario in that world, but you do need to be precise and you need to be quick because airtime becomes very valuable.
And you have folks who have presumably similar backgrounds in emergency communications or marathon communications, whatever it might be. Whereas in a pileup, it's all a real crapshoot. You have no idea of the next guy any more than he has any idea of your expertise or ability to deal with the chaos, confusion, and some of the catcalling you even hear in a pileup.
Well, chaos and confusion can occur in both scenarios, but the focus is different. I mean, in a contest, your focus is competition. Your competitive juices are flowing. You're trying to operate in such a way as to pile up as many points, or if it's appropriate, multipliers as you can, as quickly as you can. In an emergency scenario, you can still have those juices flowing, but it's not competitive juices. It's getting the message through quickly, clearly, and onto where it needs to go as quickly and clearly as you can. Speed is important in both, but there's a different driver, if you will, to what you're doing.
if you're running a compromise antenna system and maybe compromise power as well, 100 watts or less, is the practice of waiting for the initial crush or wave of stations calling at the X station to go by. Talk a little about that.
Yeah, there's a good point to that. For example, the Navassa de-expedition, very often these de-expeditions will be where they are for a week, sometimes 2 weeks, such as Navassa was. I think rather than necessarily trying to compete in the first couple of days when they first get on the air, if you wait toward the end of the planned time that these people are located where they are, the competition does ease up quite a bit. So those folks that were unable to get into Navassa early on had a really good chance toward the end because the pileups were much less. And they were operating on so many bands, there were so many opportunities to work them. Plus, we were very fortunate that that particular rare entity was kind of in our backyard, right in the Caribbean, just south of the east end of Cuba. That helped. But generally, yeah, there is some utility if you are a smaller station with simpler antennas. Waiting toward the end of the de-expedition is absolutely a very valid way to try to get them. Now, the offset to that is if you call them earlier on and you don't get through, you still have a length of time while they're still there to keep trying. If you do wait to the end of the de-expedition, your time, if you don't get through then, is now much shorter and you know, there's more urgency. But generally speaking, that's not a bad technique. It works pretty well.
If someone is calling and they have a big pileup on them, wait for that pileup to thin out some.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Well, one of the things that one develops, and that's kind of the skill part, I think, of DXing, is timing. Part of what we're doing when we talked about looking for the station that worked on previously a few moments ago is also getting a feel for the rhythm of how the operator works. There are times where if a bunch of people are calling, and even if there's a couple of people on the same frequency because they found the guy that just worked them like I was trying to do, sometimes you find out that the DX station is always coming back to the last guy that calls, the tail ender. And so if you figure that out, that's the delay I think you're referring to. Let the people all knock each other out trying to talk over each other. And then as soon as they start to really begin to die down a little bit, then throw out your call and surprise, all of a sudden the guy comes back to you. So, yeah, that does work. And that is a very, very important technique, which one learns after doing it for a while.
If any of our listeners are interested in learning more, what source would you recommend that someone could actually find all in one place some good tips on effective DXing?
Well, I think probably one of the most fun and interesting things I read, Bob Locker, W9KNI, who used to live in the Chicago area, now lives out west, has written a couple of books. One of them is his original book that's now, and I think in its third edition, is really tremendous. It's a very fun read. Some of these techniques I've mentioned with you a few moments ago are in his book, and he walks you through his experiences of doing them to get the idea across of how some of these techniques are done and how they work. It's a yellow and green book. It's The Complete DXer by Bob Locker. That's a really, really excellent book for what we're talking about.
And that concludes a conversation about DXing with Don Whiteman, KK9H, recorded in the RAIN booth at the 2015 Dayton Hamvention. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2016 RAIN. All rights are reserved. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and via iTunes.